I'm all excited now. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight, Lord. I know it's going to be an awesome time already because we've had an awesome time with you this afternoon. Praise be to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask for your presence tonight. We ask, Lord, for your direction tonight. We ask, Lord, that everything that we do tonight is from your direction. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night because you're leading the show. And it's always good when you lead. And I command every communication demon out of here in Jesus' name. We're not going to have any kind of communication interruption. In the name of Jesus, we have an open communication for everybody that wants to come in and partake of this wonderful fellowship that we have. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight it's going to be a special night because you've sewn our hearts together with that golden thread and brought us and pulling it tight, Lord, that the love of Jesus is permeates from out this crowd right here, this group of fellowship believers, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven. And I command every demon that's trying to interrupt to go from here right now in Jesus' name. Not going to be any kind of problems in the name of Jesus. Father, we just praise you that tonight's going to be just you. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We know that when we pray that you hear our prayers and are answered. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let me let somebody in here. Is that you, Malcolm? Probably. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? One at a time. Okay, what about a praise report? Oh, I see a hand. Go ahead, hand. All right, Theo.
I just wanted you to pray for Lana, Michael. It's her birthday today. And when she gets back here, she'll share her praise report. But you can pray for her. She turned 30 today, so.
Oh, man, you're not supposed to tell how old she is. No. Praise God. Right. Yeah, that's good. No, that's all right. That's all right. Well, is she in there yet?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Lotto to you. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful work you're doing in her. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for your blessings upon her. We just speak blessings upon her from this point forward. That every day she's going to learn something new. Every day, every time she opens up that word, that revelation is going to come to her. It's going to be like a neon sign. And you're going to peel the layers off of every scripture that she looks at. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a mighty woman of God out of her. And we praise you for it, Father. You already have. And we thank you, Lord, it's going to go even deeper, even deeper. And we thank you, Lord, that the words that she speaks to you, Lord, are heard, every one of them, and that her prayers are answered. And we praise you for it, Father. Now, everybody, I want to wish you a happy birthday. A happy, happy, happy birthday. That's all I knew of that song, but I just destroyed it. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Lana, you're welcome.
Oh, anybody else? I have a praise report.
Good.
My sister called me yesterday. She's one of the first of the family to reach out. Just wanted to see how we were doing, and we just started talking, and the end times came up, and I shared with her a little bit what I've learned about the end times, and she was open. She was asking questions. She was listening. And so I offered to send her some links, and she was welcoming of them. So I sent her a link to David Eel's YouTube video, the one that talks about him. And I sent her a link to Order of Sovereign God, and I recommended that, you know, she listen to it with her husband, and if they're interested, they could take a look at Sovereign God. I encouraged her that she would learn a lot in it. So last night she texted me, and she said that she listened to the video and that it was very interesting, and that was the end of it, but I'm believing that the Lord will continue working in her heart and bring changes about, because quite honestly, I do have the faith that the Lord will bring my family into salvation, but I wasn't sure I had enough faith to believe that they would come into the full gospel. So I don't know what the Lord's doing, but he's doing something, so I'm going to continue believing, and I praise God for the small light of hope that was brought on yesterday.
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. When that ground starts shaking underneath them, hey, listen, that old gospel goes out the window. They're looking for something else because somebody's been lying to them. And they're going to call you and they're going to ask, what it was that you was telling us? And they're going to ask you and you're going to tell them. And the truth is going to come out and they're going to accept it, receive it, and come into it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just believe that.
And also I wanted to share that the Lord has healed me of my lazy eye. In addition to having the bad vision I have, doctors had tried for years to cure my lazy eye when I was a child, and then they kind of gave up. And I no longer have it. So praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Father. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Anyone else? There comes the little lamb. I have to ask, who is the 716 number? 716-474. Let me unmute you. Yeah, go ahead. 716-474-8667. Who is that?
Hi, it's Rebecca.
Oh, okay, Rebecca. Thank you. Is your mom there with you? Is your daughter there with you, Katie?
Yes, Katie's right here.
Okay, good deal. I'll make a note of that so I won't forget it next time.
Okay.
All right. Glad to have y'all with us.
Glad to be here.
All right. All right. Anybody else have a praise report or a testimony or would like prayer? Yeah, Barry, go ahead.
Sorry, we were greeting Julie who just showed up. So.
Oh, hi, Julie.
Everybody wait. Here you go. I'm sorry.
Oh my, that's okay. That's all right. Hey, Joe Britt. What say, brother? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for my son-in-law. I found out today, I was talking to Blake, that sounds like they might be cutting some jobs, and may get furloughed earlier this year than he's expecting and furloughed longer. So I'd just like to come against that spirit of thrift and job cutting, and that the Lord would watch over Tim and keep him employed where he wants him and for as long as he wants him. And that if he does get furloughed, that the Lord would use that time in a wonderful way to build his relationship with the Lord and with his family, and that it would be a blessing if he does get furloughed, and use the time off wisely and into the spirit, into the kingdom's benefit, and grow his relationship with the Lord. So I know it's in God's hands, and I just want y'all to agree with me that it would be a blessing whichever the way the Lord moves on it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Uh, All right, anyone else? Yeah, Dave.
I want everybody to agree with me. And I prayed over this already, but we'll just have an agreement with my son. He was at work yesterday, and he got his finger smashed. And actually, right where the knuckle is at the very end, just past it, it broke the finger. So it's set in place. But you're saying, oh, it's going to take 4 weeks to heal. Well, I command it to be healed in a week's name. So just everybody agree with me in the name of Jesus. It'll be healed in a week, and the pain's gone. And thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's done. In Jesus' name. How many of you fired up tonight? Amen. Me too, Julie. I know the Lord is here. Glory to God. Ooh, my. All right, is that everybody? All right, let's do this. I sent this out to y'all. This is that prayer. I think this is the one that I sent you. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, I condemn right now in the name of Jesus. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I take the shield of faith and quench every fiery dart of the enemy. And I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and I defeat the enemy with it. Praise God. And I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from sickness and all attacks from the enemy. And I overcome all because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I don't have the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I have favor with God and man. Praise God. Everybody receive that? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, my. Thank you, Lord. Right. Okay. Has anybody got any thing they'd like to add or talk about tonight? Hallelujah, myself, Julie. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, everybody. I would just like to, I don't know that this is a prayer. Maybe it is a prayer. Interleaved in this process, but anyway, I asked the Lord a couple, 3 or 4 days ago to asked him if he would restore the sense of his presence in my life that I experienced before. And I'll just leave it at that. And after I asked him, I opened up the Bible and put my finger down, looked for a verse, basically gave me a verse. And I have to say that even putting it in context, it didn't answer my question. But it did send me down another path. And I just wanted to share that verse, a couple of those verses. And he sent me over in, and it has to do with our situation in the earth today, or what's happening in the world today. And that verse was 1 Kings 22:15. And I think basically I was feeling, I guess, dry or not just desiring to just feel the overwhelming presence of the Lord. again, and it was just to be walking and sitting in that delight. So this is the verse he gave me. It was in, again, 1 Kings 22, 15. It said, "And when he has come to the king said to him, Micaiah," the basic context of this scripture, this is when King Ahab was going to make a covenant or a league with the king of Judah. I think it was and Jehoshaphat, and to make a league with him to go up and take the land that in Syria, or I guess it was in Syria, take the land in Syria that he owed, that it was his by covenant from God. And so the king of Judah said, "Well, sure, I'll go with you. I'll go with your army is my army is yours, my goods are yours, etc. We'll go together. But first, call the prophets and inquire of the Lord and see if we will have success doing so." So he called the prophets, 450 prophets of Baal or whatever, called them, and they all prophesied, "Yes, go help, be prosperous. You shall take Syria, etc." And then the king of Judah said, "Well, do you not have a prophet of the Lord around here?" And he said, "Yes, we do. His name is Micaiah. And I don't like calling him because he always gives me a bad report. So this is the kind of the context of what happened there. And that verse 15, it said, and so they called Micaiah. "And when he has come to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go up and prosper, and the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." And then the next line, he said, the king said to him, "How many times shall I adjure you that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And the thing, it kind of hit me at that time when I was reading that the king, this was King Ahab, whose wife was Jezebel, is said that he is, you know, one of the worst, you know, worst kings or whatever. But the king, Ahab, as wicked as he was, he knew that Micaiah was mocking him. Because Micaiah comes in and says, "Oh yeah, go up and prosper." And he knew immediately that he was mocking him and that he wasn't telling the truth. And I just thought about that concept for a minute. And so isn't it interesting that even the king in his wickedness, and he didn't really want to hear this from the prophet, but even in his wickedness, he knew that Micaiah, the prophet of the Lord, was speaking truth to him. And so I let that rumble in the background, so to speak. But I kept on reading because I was obviously searching for another answer. This didn't really ring to me. I just thought it was interesting. But if you read the rest of that, he said, the king said to him, "How many times shall I, you know, ask you for the truth? And you need to speak the truth." And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord, these have no master. Let them return every man to his own house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that this guy wouldn't prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah basically said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another one said on that matter, and there came forth a spirit and said before the Lord, he said, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt prevail. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. And when I read that portion right there, it stopped. I had to stop for a minute and think, because there's kind of a thinking that was lying in the background of my mind. And that thinking was, every man has one spirit, soul, body. So spirits are a kind of, I'm thinking, relegated to, say, one body. It kind of seems that, when you cast out demons, you usually cast out demons out of an individual. And I guess I was not thinking in the realm that spirits have no limitation, because one spirit went out and became a lying spirit in a multitude of people. A multitude. One spirit in a multitude of prophets. And believe it or not, as I saw that and I thought about that, it brought me a certain amount of peace. And now I don't know why I hadn't thought of this before, but it brought me a certain amount of peace. And I have to say that with the rise up of the battle of the deep state, the leftists, the faction, this whole battle that is raging right now and threatening to undo our country, that it seems like you tend to get a little weary at dealing with each one of these little individual issues that come up as a spirit. Like, cast that spirit down, which is true. Cast those down in the name of the Lord. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But it's constant, because those guys do not give up. They do not stop. It's just a constant flood, constantly, every day. And it tends to be wear on me as being a bit discouraging. And this verse brought me back to the fact that we are dealing with principalities and powers. We're dealing with principalities, which is I think that word is arche or something like that. I don't have it in front of me or whatever, but it has to do with the same, I think maybe the same root term or whatever, or like archaeology, has to do with what I read in one of the definitions. What it has to do with the beginning or the starting or the highest ruler. And we're dealing with principalities, which I believe, give orders to the lower realms of demons and people and whatever. And the thought came to me that we, if we can raise our battle up to the higher level and start pounding on the principalities, the higher authorities in that kingdom, whatever they be, that it's going to have a rippling effect on the battle. And so the reason it kind of became clear to me today is that if you've seen this factious leftist thing that is spreading over the world right now, it came in as a result of this killing of this man at the hands of the police department. And that, have you seen how that has spread? It went to various different cities in the United States. It was in, like, the next day there was riots in 25 cities, and then it's overseas, and it is literally a kind of a worldwide phenomena right now, which tells me that it is one spirit that is overwhelmingly, you know, sending that message around the world, shall we say.
Can I ask you a question?
Well, sure you can.
Yeah, okay. At the beginning, you had asked the question how you could get back to that relationship with the Lord that you had before, I believe is what you want. Are we getting to that area or not? I'm just asking because it seems like you might be going off on something.
I that's the point. I did go off in that direction.
Oh, did you?
Yes. This is okay. What I ended up with. And so
I got you.
The reason I spill it out here is because if someone else can see any relevance to that, that scripture, that story, with what I was requesting of the Lord in the first place, because I see no connection, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about it is I was talking to my wife on Sunday and gave her this example of what I had seen, and she said, well, that's interesting because I've been reading in that very chapter, that very story, for the last 2 days. And I hadn't talked to her before. So
there's a way that I do it, Pat, is to get into the realm of knowing that you're speaking with God, and that is to get alone with Him and to put your attention in your spiritual realm completely on the Lord. And once you get into that area, then you can hear the Lord perfectly. It's getting in the closet. Sometimes for me, Pat, it depends on how often I do it. It might take me a long time to get back into that realm of knowing that I'm listening to God. I can hear God, and then I can talk with Him. Sometimes it doesn't take long at all if I've been obedient and been in the closet with Him, you know, quite often. But if I back off and don't get in the closet with Him, that's the essential part of getting into that realm of knowing that you're talking with God, knowing that He's listening, and knowing that you're communicating, is to get alone with Him. That's the only way to do it, in my estimation. And as far as the principalities and powers, we already have authority over those. We don't have to even, we have as a fellowship here, have prayed for things happening in other parts of the country and God took care of it. And I say that because that's the authority that we as believers have, is to just know what your authority is. And to know that when you pray, principalities, powers, all of that kind of stuff, makes no never mind. Because God is over them and he's given us the authority over them. And when we speak, they have to go. There's no doubt in our mind. There's none whatsoever. When this bunch here prays, it don't make any difference if it's about a war and it's, and I have to be very careful here because God is doing things now to wake up people. And he don't want us to pray against them. And he might want us to lighten up on them a little bit on God's chosen. But we've seen over in the Middle East, I'll just point this out to you. We've seen over in the Middle East changes in a country that is strictly Muslim, that is being, there's a revival going over there now that is exploding exponentially because of our prayers and because of the intercessors that we are, you know, here too. God's utilized, he uses us as his hands and his mouthpiece. And when we figure out that we're the authority, we can change the world. We can change the world. Now, as far as this stuff going on in America, he's doing this for one reason. He's getting the attention. He's trying to get the attention of the apostate church in these democratically held places, you know. And how many of you know when you don't have police, police in a place, it's going to be anarchy. And the people are going to be leaving those places. But I'm just telling you, the best place to get in close with the Lord, and if there's somebody got a better formula, if I can even say that, than getting in your closet and seeking him with your whole heart. When you surrender your whole heart to the Lord, you're here. What happens is a lot of times, in my experience, is I take the world in with me when I ought to leave the world outside and go on in there and say, Lord, I surrender it all to you. I want to hear from you. I want you to be the, as George said the other night, I want you to be the king on the throne of my heart and not Michael. Yeah, Andrew.
So what you're invariably saying is the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 has the four different lands that represents the four different divisions in the church. And what God is doing now with the people in the first land, who completely lost everything, they lost the complete word because the devil came and took it out of them. They may have heard the gospel once and now it's gone from them. And the other two lands where they are born again, but they still need to bear the fruit of Christ. He's trying to take some people out of those three lands and put them in our fourth land. And they have to come in there with the amount of fruit that they have. Because, you know, some of them who are born again may have 30-fold fruit, but they're not increasing. And the only way you increase is by the whole Holy Spirit-filled people who've had experience in this to help them along, you know. And that's what I think it's saying there, you know. There were some things that I was reading maybe last week in I don't think too many people refer to James chapter 5 as the first few verses there as the last days. It mentions the last days there. So it talks about the people who've kept back and mowed back your lands. And now they're crying out to the Lord of Sabbath there. And these people want this Sabbath. They want this rest, you see. And they know there's something wrong, but they can't put their finger on it. So, that's what I think is the Lord is trying to get their finger to be on it. That's the only way I can say it, that there are, the hire of your laborers who mowed down your lands, which is of you kept back, crieth out. And the cries of them that reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. So you see, there's a few verses up there, the first six of them, I guess, that, and just the verse before that, you have laid up treasures for the last days. And, you know, there's a few things here that you can relate to with Western society on how prosperous the nations are and stuff. And how sometimes we even forget that there are people over there in the Middle East that we should be praying for a lot more. Because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to love them. And, they're also praying for the forwarding of the gospel for their people too. You know, they have loved ones too that they want to see more of the love of God that comes in, you know. That's why I always like those verses in chapter 14 of John, you know. If any love me, he will keep my word. So, and the Father will love him. And we, that's Jesus Christ and the Almighty God, will come and make our abode with him. And earlier in that chapter, he said, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, that's the room you want, the abode there. So, you know, you really need that love. And we know and believe the love that God has in us. God is love. He who abideth in love abideth in God, and God abides in him. So this love thing is what he's really trying to get at. You know, I remember saying that, you know, that once I was comparing it like to the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith. I was talking about love and how I said that love was the nuclear bomb. And I think someone laughed, and I finally got the reason why he said, why he laughed. Because I think it's a vernacular in the English language in some places in the United States when you call someone the bomb. Okay. It's an old translation for bombshell when it refers to a girl, you know, and love never fails, you know, and it is the strongest thing. Today I was also reading in First Peter that, you know, how they always say we believe by faith and not by sight. Well, I saw there in First Peter 1:8 that you gotta love, not by sight, but by love. We believe by love, not by sight. And that verse also has not by sight, but by faith. So, you know, you got the agape in there and you got the faith in there, and it's not by sight, but it's by love and faith. So faith that worketh love. So it's the first time I've seen it, you know. I even had it highlighted, and I don't know. So that's why I couldn't remember that verse, you know. Got to get that verse in there. You know? where's the spirit ink to get it on my heart and my mind there, to have it there so that I can, you know, that's the new covenant according to Hebrews 8. You know, it's got to be written with love upon your mind and heart. So it's not written with ink. It's not written or engraved in stone. It's written on hearts of flesh with the Spirit of God. So, you know, that's all this word is. You know, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. So there's a spirit to love. You know, it's an obedience. It is agape. So, and it's holy too. So, you know, the law in Romans 7, and I know you guys know this about Romans 7, that he said the law was holy, but he couldn't arrive at that holiness with law. He arrives at it through Jesus Christ, and it's by love, you know. Jesus, the Lord has to know you're on his side for this to come to pass, you know, and then it comes to pass for you. And he's coaxing them now throughout all this faction and division to bring them to that place of love. And it's the first fruit of the spirit. So look at the first fruit of the flesh, you know, is fornication. What's the context of that in Hebrews 12? You know, that's the Esau guy. You know, so and to boot, what's adultery? You know, I just finished James. We know what it says in chapter 4 over there. The warring and fighting. There's your fighter and your envier. Who's your factious guy? You know, goodwill and some by fighting and envying, which is the factious will by faction. So you want the goodwill, you know, the will that's part of your noma, your name. So it's just amazing on how it all collates together, you know. It applies to these things, you know. It's really neat the way the Lord shows you things. You know, he just showed me something today. We have an altar that's wherein we stand, and it's the grace that we stand in. And your gifting is not what you learned in school. You're gifted because it was graced upon you to have some faith. You know, they talk about gifted people, those who have doctorate degrees and universities and stuff. They're not gifted. You're the gifted one because you received it by grace to have faith in it. So, and that's not even your works, because we're his workmanship. So we see how important this faith is, that we need to be gifted by it. And he wants to give it to us. That's the whole thing, you know. It's really neat the way the Lord takes things into balance for you to have these things. And, you know, Ed, you're in that altar because what do you do before you study? You're praying. So the altar continues with you all through your Bible study, no matter how many hours you've been done. And you're getting thanksgiving, and you're actually going into prayer when you learn things new. And you go, I want to keep that, Lord. That's a good one. I want that. And it's nothing like the Lord that make you feel like a little kid too, because you're going to him with stuff and you go, oh man, you're making me feel so young. This is an almighty God we're praying. An all-knowing and all-seeing. You know, you can't hide anything from him. And we've all had parents where we've hidden stuff from them. And you can't do that with him. And you feel him like a child. And, you know, and it's going to be that way with you. Because, you know, you're reckoned righteous by faith. So you're going to be that man child no matter where you sit with the Lord. Because you're there before him, depending on all stuff from him. You anything, you know, you're gifted. You're a product of the Lord's spirit of grace. And that's how you get it all. You know, you go to him in prayer to ask for something. You need some mercy, he'll give you truth. You need some truth, he's going to have to give you mercy automatically in your altar. And you know what it says there in Hebrews 12 about those who serve the temple or the tabernacle, and they don't have place in the altar of grace. So you know, it almost sounds like they're going to be forever serving that temple and not stepping into the altar to improve. You got to bear the fruit. You're in the good lane. So I hope people understood what I was saying anyway. I hope I made sense, and praise God.
Okay, anybody else? I wanted to share a word that I got right before I came on, and that was in John chapter 3. It's one that we've all heard, but I want to read it the whole thing. It's John 3:16 down to 21. And if you listen to the words, you'll know what I want to get to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes on him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be reproved. That's true. I'm going to read that again. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be made known, that they have been worked in God. We're seeing these verses come to light right before our eyes on TV, radio, and the internet. The people that you're seeing that are rioting and allowing these riots to go on are coming against Christians in a mighty way. They would, if they could. They'd kill Christians. And we're going to see that. And the people I was trying to think. The lady that ran the church, I believe it was a lady that ran that church next to the White House, came against Trump. She didn't have a whole lot of light. She has darkness. And what we're seeing now is darkness. The Lord showed me 10 years ago that the world was getting darker and darker, and what was light was about this much, was about light. That was light. That's all I could see of the light. It was a vision. And then after I came here, he had been here probably a year or two, that thing halfened up. It was probably half as open as the other. And then I had another vision probably a year or two after that, that light was almost closed. And that's where we are today. It's almost closed. The darkness is almost completely covered this planet, but not yet. There's still light, you know, that we know the light. But in my lifetime, I've never seen such evil going on in the world like it is now. Didn't really understand the evil that was going on until now. And the Lord has told us to pray for God's chosen, and not to pray, not to lessen, and or not to pray against what's happening, but to pray for God's chosen, that they would be protected. And so that's what we're doing. You can't, I tell you something else that the Lord has spoken to us too. Don't get caught up in trying to find out all the news. Don't be what they call a news junkie. You get caught up in the news junkie business rather than the God business, and you're feeding your old man. You're not feeding God. God can take care of all this stuff for you. You don't have to worry about the news, you know. The news will take care of itself. God will take, all you want to know is that you're in the right relationship with God. I know I've been caught up in that stuff too, guys. I want to see the latest and greatest. What's going on? How's Trump doing? Is, you know, what's going on in the world? But you know who's the one orchestrating it? It's God. God's orchestrating this whole thing. And if you know him, you ain't got to worry about what's going on down the street. You don't have to worry about it because he'll let you know. Just like he has us with dreams and words that we get from him. He tells us what to pray for. And that's the, our main objective is to get our eyes on the Lord. And boy, you know, sometimes that's so hard because everybody's talking about the news, you know, da-da-da-da-da, this happened, that happened, oh, over here happened, what have you. But you know what? God's the one that's orchestrating it. When we get our eyes on the Lord, news don't matter a whole lot. He'll tell you what to pray for, pray against. And I'm finding that out more and more every day. Just don't worry about what's going on around you. God will give it to you. If you ask the questions, the Lord said, he'll give you the answers. He said, ask, and I'll give it to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, what's actually helping me is, I believe it's called baiting the false prophet. It's some videos on out of a book. I can't remember the title of the book, but it's the first three chapters are talking about baiting the false prophet, and the false prophets are being baited now into a position in a big worldwide church, and these big mega churches are being baited for this right now, from what I can remember on what he was saying. And there's a lot of it. He brings it out in Ezekiel's chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20. And it's really neat the way he talks about it and some of the future events that are going to come up to the tribulation time. And it's a little bit difficult to understand how he says Babylon is doing something right now, but there's an Egypt there at the same time, and they run for Egypt for help. So they're being baited, these guys, that way to go and run for Egypt for help. They're going to get their help, but this Babylonish thing is going to come back on them in the future during the tribulation time, and there's going to be reasonable peace. But then that's a time for God to bring the other people in before it's too late, before the great tribulation starts. And meanwhile, all through this, you know, God's collecting his people. You know, you may have had some friends that have passed away that were godly friends, but they were taken early because of the predicament they were in. They had the full gospel, but they were taken early because that was God's pity and mercy for them to take them at that time. And it doesn't say that in these things, but you know, there are those people that have been with us and are gone now. You know, I was told you have up to 70 years. Anything over that is the Lord's strength, but you know, some people are taken very early in their lifetimes. It's just because they're stuck in a place and God's saying, I got to take this guy now because I love him. I have pity on him. I have mercy on him. So that's I think that's going to be a factor. You know, some of them are going to make it because of God's pity and mercy for them, just to take them out of the predicament that they're in because they can't overcome because he's got these leaders that are not really teaching them right. And there's going to be others that they're going to come to that point and recognize, oh, you know, there's something that we're not supposed to see here that's happening. And God's going to maybe take some of them there too. You know, he's the collector. We're the gems that he's making. And he's collecting us whenever he wants to. And it is true that some of us go through to the end and go from mortal to immortality. And they get to see their resurrection alive. And there are others that will go from their sleep state or their corrupt state to incorruption and get their new body that way. So either way, it's going to happen. So, anyway, it's pretty good when you get into this baiting of the false prophet. You know, he's talking about these hooks that they're taking in. You gotta have, he mentions, you gotta have bait on this hook that brings these people in. And of course, he's talking about how some of them are beholden to these people who gave them large sums of money. So, anyway.
Amen. Psalms 62:5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Ooh, my soul, that's me. Wait thou only upon God. That means that we have a God that's above every circumstance that comes before us. And if we learn to live our life knowing God is with us in everything that happens around us, then we know that he's always present. He's always near. He can take care of those circumstances from us, away from us. That's the most important thing, is to get as close to God as you can. And there ain't but one way to do that, and that's to get in and seek him with all your heart. Lay it all on the altar. As Andrew Murray had that book, Absolute Surrender, everything to him. The Lord will tell you, he said, I'll be your God. And I'll give you all that I have, as much as you can take. And he'll do it. He'll give you as much as you can stand. Go ahead, Judy.
You know, when you're...
Uh-oh.
And when I thought about Isaiah 60, the beginning of it, it says that, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then it mentions about gross darkness coming over all the earth. And I'm thinking, that has to come. I feel like that has to come, because how will people realize their need for the light if they don't have the gross darkness? You know, people have, it kind of like reminds me of separating the tares from the wheat, you know, because not everybody knows, you know, when everything's going fine, everybody doesn't think about the Lord. They just, They just go about their business, doing whatever. But when things get bad, if people really want the Lord, they'll cry out to him, they'll call out to him. So it has to get dark. To me, it's like it's got to get dark before people are going to see their need for the light.
And that's the same thing as when the earth starts to shake.
Yeah.
They start to think.
So that's,
well, what about people like us?
We have to stay close to the Lord in the midst of it. We have to stay, you know, in his presence, and we have to draw near to him all the time, regardless, recognizing that once that darkness is there, there's going to be people that are going to come to us for the light. But we have to be ready to be able to give it to them. So that means we got to stay in the light, you know, stay close to him, spending time alone with him and in his word.
Shine, Jesus, shine. From Jehovah.
Yeah.
That's a song. Amen. A lot of times, we'll take anything rather than God. You know, we'll take our books, we'll take our study time, we'll take this, we'll take that over our time alone with God. And that God wants us to enter in with him. He wants to be able to reveal himself to you. And now, but one way to do that, that's get in the closet and wait as long as it takes to allow God to reveal himself to you. I want more of God than I want anything else. I want more of God than I want anything else. And when we get to that point where we'll wait and we'll wait and we'll wait until we hear from the Lord God Almighty, then you'll be next to him and you'll understand the closeness of God. He wants as much for us to be, he wants as much for us to seek him as him to reveal himself to you. I'm telling you, he does. He wants us to commune with him. Most of all, more than we want to commune with him. It seems like in my life, you know, until I've, you know, come to the realization, hey, look, I want more of God than I want of Michael. And that's what it's got to be. We're in some perilous times, and we have to learn to walk by the Spirit of God, be led by the Spirit of God. How are you going to learn to walk by the Spirit of God if you don't ever get in and allow God to reveal himself to you? And that's just for us here, you know. I'm speaking to Michael too, because I know that I have lacked my time with the Lord, because this has come up and this is over here has come up, or this over here has come up. And rather than just getting in the closet and waiting on him and talking to him, and that's the most important thing right now, folks. It really is. If you want to be an overcomer, if you want to be God's vessel to be used, you need to get in the closet and allow God to reveal himself to you. We can read scriptures until we're blue in the face. We can memorize the whole Bible and not know God. I know preachers that do that. Okay, I'm gonna get off the soapbox. Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
Ever since we got on tonight, the song that's been coming to me, and Judy could vouch for me, is In Your Presence. And the words, I'll just read the words. I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on a rock. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot burn me, in your presence, O God. In your presence, that's where I'm strong. In your presence, O Lord, my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace. In the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God. I want to hide where the blood of evil cannot reach me. Here I'm covered by your blood. I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me. In your presence, O God. You are my firm foundation. I trust in you all day long. I am your child and your servant, and you are my strength and my song. You're my song. And it, I definitely have to agree that, you know, that we do need to be in his presence to stay close to him. I mean, if we're his bride, we're to love him like a bride loves her husband. And whenever I think about being in his presence, I think about when I'm drawing close to him, when I'm praising him, it's like I'm giving him hugs. But when I'm kissing him, and I'm not talking literally or, you know, physically, but spiritually, my worship is kissing him, is like being in, like Song of Solomon, you know? It's like, has he frozen?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my time alone with the Lord is like a husband and wife should be, but it's a spiritual aspect, not physical. That's what I look at, you know? So anyway, this song was on my heart since we've been going on, because it is his presence we need.
Yeah, that's a favorite of mine also. Okay, anybody else? I wish I could sing. If I could sing, I'd sing it to you, but I can't sing. I just run everybody off. Go ahead, Tim.
Before we came on tonight, I was in Deuteronomy, and I kind of ended up in 28. We, you know, we read that quite a bit in the book we're studying now, you know, the Good News. But the division there between the first 14 verses, you know, of the blessings of being obedient versus the cursings of disobedience is kind of what I see is happening in the world today. There's a percentage of the people, and it's unfortunately not very, very many, that are in obedience and they're receiving God's blessings, and the cursings of the disobedient are manifesting in ways more than just the agricultural, you know, things that are enumerated here in the last half of 28, but it's spiritual cursings that are landing on these people because of disobedience and not hearkening unto the word of the Lord and worshiping other gods and those kind of things. And I just, when I was reading that, I was thinking about the status of the world today and the cursings that, you know, are upon the world, and it's because people don't know the Lord that you're talking about. They don't spend time with him.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? What do you think, Julie? Wake up, girl. No, not Judy. Julie.
Okay.
I'll get you in a minute if you got something to say. That'd be fine. Judy says passerby. Okay. You got something, Dave?
No, I was just going to find out what that song was again. I didn't catch that. I like the words.
In your presence. Paul Wilbur does a fantastic job with that.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Judy.
I guess I'm needing to sing it, huh?
Well, no, I thought Judy was going to say something.
No.
Well, you can sing it if you want to.
I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on a rock. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot burn me. In your presence, oh God, in your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord, my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God. I want to hide where the flood of evil cannot teach me. Here I'm covered by your blood. I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me. In your presence, O God, in your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord, my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God. You are my firm foundation, I trust in you all day long. I am your child and your servant, and you are my strength and my song. You are my song. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord, my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God, in your presence, O God, in your presence, O God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good song. Thank you, Sue. Praise be to God. Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, that was lovely. Thank you, Judy. I was just thinking, I get pulled into a lot of, I don't know if it's counseling or just encouragement sessions with different people in my circle. And when you minister to the body of Christ, to fellow Christians, that sometimes people have some cloud or something on them that is keeping their gift from flowing to the body. And when we act in our gift towards somebody in love, like tonight, for instance, this older lady that has a church up in New York, her and her son, I'm involved with a mission in Haiti through their church. And I'm always talking one of them off the ledge, basically, with their high-strung New York attitude type stuff. But it's been very fruitful. Well, tonight the mother got really, she was getting discouraged. She came under a little bit of an attack because of church politics or whatever. And her son said, they call me Grumpy. They said, we're calling Grumpy. She's like, why? We don't want to bother him. And he's like, no, we're calling him. He explains things well. So they called me and we laid out a few, you know, breadcrumbs to follow. And then God just kept giving me words of encouragement and painting a picture for her to the point where she let go of the dark things that were attacking her. And she just blossomed into prayer and praise and was so happy and told me what a blessing the conversation was. And I don't know what to expect. It's like you just get in the flow with the body of Christ, and whatever your gift is to elevate and edify releases the gift in others for them to flow and for the Father and for Jesus to come on the scene and to live through us. And it just makes our time and the sacrifice that we give to one another so fruitful and so it reaches eternity. It takes us beyond today and puts a building block in heaven. And it's like where your heart is, you know, that's where your treasure is. And when your heart is towards the body of Christ and you flow like that, it just, even the pain and the sometimes the flesh that gets in the way, you have to grind through with people and you have to repent and get back in good graces with them. But it's so worth it when you finally get to the point where you understand why you're in the journey with a, you know, it's almost like a covenant with people. And it's the same, you know, you talked about getting in your closet with Jesus. And I feel like with you guys here, that Jesus ministers to me. And like Judy just sang that song, it was so heavenly. And, you know, Andrew, every one of you has a gift that flows because you're comfortable making mistakes with one another. We know that if we repent, that we will be forgiven. And I just, there's a high value on grinding it out and being these living stones that can be fitted by the Master. And I'm blessed to fit with you all and wherever God fits us, because the foundation is being laid and we have such a foundation of truth. When this harvest comes in and when these almost tares start running out of institutional churches for a safe place to land, we're going to take them in and say, it's okay, guy, just relax, you know, just be fed. You've got a place at the table. Let's go to the wedding feast. So there's so much encouragement we can give, and that's about as long as I ever want to talk. I love y'all.
Well, that was good, George. Thank you so much. All right. That's some good wisdom. Amen. I believe it. Okay, anybody else? It's time. It's time to get close to God. Yeah, Jeanette.
Yes, I'd like to say how much I enjoy Sue's singing. God has really anointed her voice. I got the right person this time. I think I called her Judy the last time. But anyways, I really believe that God has really anointed her voice. It's so in tune. It's not flat. It's not off tune. And it's so soothing. It's just a real delight to listen to her sing. That's all I want to say.
Amen. All right. Don't get lifted up, sir. No, it was good. She and Debbie sing duos sometimes at the fellowship, and it is so beautiful. Both of them sing real good, but together it just, it just magnifies everything. Praise God. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have a good voice too. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Oh, I just want to say it's a nice conversation. Does give me an answer to the question I asked the Lord and the dream he gave me. So thank you, Father.
Joe, I didn't get that, buddy. I'm sorry.
Tonight's conversation gave me an answer to a prayer I asked of, a question I asked of the Lord.
Oh, okay. Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I got distracted, Joe. It wasn't you. It was me. All right. Anybody else? Well, anybody got anything they'd like to say? Anything, any questions? You know, one of the books that I've been in the epistles of Paul. In the latter rain, Michael, believe it. Oh, okay. Amen. Okay, I can do that. But I've been in Ephesians and I was in Colossians today. Let me just read you a little bit of that, if I can. I can. It's Colossians chapter 3. That's right, Julie. I believe, girl. I'm going to have a voice like, what's his name? Doesn't make any difference. Colossians chapter 3. Now I'm going to read out of the refreshed ASV. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Okay, if Christ is seated at the right hand of God, ain't that where I'm at too? Isn't that where I'm at? Okay, I'm seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, will be disclosed, then will you also with him be disclosed in glory. Whew, Lord of God. Put to death, therefore, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked. We don't walk in that anymore. When you lived in these things. But now you also put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man that is being renewed to knowledge after the image of him who created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. But Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. And if any man has a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, and I say it again, above all these things, put on love. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Thank God for everything. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Praise be to God forevermore. That's the standard how we walk in this world of Christ that we live in. We're in the kingdom of heaven right now. Has anybody got any comments? All things are possible. Yeah, Dave.
Well, let's just go back and look at it. If you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What kind of things should we be seeking right now? Kind of a crazy question, maybe, but, and some of us are already doing it, but, you know, what are we seeking for? What do we want to seek for now through Christ? What is our needs right now? What are we seeking for? Things that are above.
I can tell you what I'm seeking for, more God.
Absolutely. Well, we know if we have God's presence, like you're saying, more of God. Wow, is there anything really that's going to be a problem in this world?
Run that by again.
If we are seeking more of God and we get that, is there really going to be anything that's a problem in this world for us? I don't think we will have a problem. I mean, well, there is going to be tribulation and toil, but if God's with us, he's going to get us through that. You know, that's our focus. But what else do we need to get out of this? What are we looking at? Seek the things that are above. What are we seeking for?
Hey, David.
Yeah.
George got his hand up.
Oh, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
When you asked that question, battle plan came to my mind, that our Lord is the captain of this battle, and he's got that 500,000 foot view over the battlefield and knows where the enemy's needing to be rooted out, and strategy and prayers and dominion and loot on the battlefield, whatever it is. That's what comes to my mind, is to have him lead me through the battle and be his hands and connect with others to be successful and destroy the works of the enemy.
Yeah, Pat.
I would, with what George is saying there, when Dave was reading that, you know, what are you seeking for? And with you, I'm seeking to be at rest in the presence of God in Christ. But that seeking those things above, I'm one of the things that is above, even is the principle of authority. A man can receive nothing unless it come from above. When I started tonight I was those verses that came to me, putting in them in the context of our present day, and the circumstances that we are in. I guess I was wondering how to respond to the world in more of a in the spirit of love, in the presence of Christ, or in battle gear, as a warrior, as one taking down the strongholds that amass itself against us as a church, or both. Or because the thing I was feeling is that I don't want to be passively sitting by, standing by, watching the things that come by and that approach us and not do anything. So there was kind of in me, there was kind of mixed, how do you respond type of feeling that I had tonight. And we're really getting both aspects of it, in what George is saying, in standing in our battle gear and be ready to stand in that evil day, having done all to stand in our battle gear, and yet seek those things. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ, and various things like that. So I guess I'm just a lot of these thoughts flying through my mind and wondering, how do I respond? How, you know, because I would tend to want to, as you say, Michael, seek that place in Christ and separate and focus in on Him, but it also at the same time seems like there is a need to respond to this particular condition and situation that we're in today. So I just stop there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need both your armor on and that love that you talked about, that we talked about. Absolutely. Love to bring them in, and your battle gear to help them get rid of their bondage. Amen. And to break down the powers that have hindered them from coming in. That's where it starts right there, is the battle. Yeah, Leon, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand up.
It's all right. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, George displayed that very thing with his earlier comments about that sister from New York. So he did both of those things, exactly what you're talking about and exactly what Pat just mentioned. He displayed love and compassion when needed, and he displayed the warring aspect of it as well when that was needed. So they're both necessary in our walk, because without them, you're lacking something. So I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm also thinking, when it says seek the things that are above, we have to have a vision. Our vision has to be focused on what's above, because we're supposed to be seeking up what's up there. Now, what's hindering us from seeking things that are from above? What would
block that vision? And what are we supposed to be doing to get this vision from things up above? So we are in unity with that vision. What are we seeking from above? Is there something blocking us from seeing what we need to see? And if it is, what do we need to get out of our lives so we can see what's important when we're supposed to be seeking things from above?
Well, that's a good question. Most of the time, it's self. Most of the time, it's self that blocks us from seeking God. And that's my... Judy and Sue's having too much fun out there. What's the matter with y'all? Can't y'all see we're on a serious subject here?
We're just agreeing with you.
Yeah, we're just agreeing.
Oh, it didn't look like it. It looked like y'all was telling jokes to one another. Okay, well, as long as you're having a good time, that's fine. Amen.
It does remind you that in 3, it says, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So he's saying, by putting on your death and new life in Christ, then you're walking in Christ at that point. Your life, it says, when Christ, your life, is revealed, then you also be revealed with him in his glory. So you're right. We definitely have to put ourselves to death. We have to believe that's happened. We have to believe that reconciliation was made. We were, the old self was dead on a cross, and new life was in Christ. All right. So we're doing this by faith too, aren't we? We're walking by faith. We're going to be seeking these things from above. We're walking by faith. God is going to be revealing these things to us. We're believing that our life is hidden in Christ, and then these things will be revealed to us. We'll also be revealed with him in his glory. It's all by faith. We're walking by faith for these things. We can't walk by our physical sight. You're not going to physically see these things. You have to walk by faith to have these things.
But Dave, isn't in like manner, even the next verse tends to indicate in verse 4 that if you're seeking these things, setting your mind on the things above, etc., when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. And that verse even indicates that it is something past what we are in right now, what we are experiencing right now. And I think the apostate, I think it's one view is to say, well, that when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, and that we're looking for that in millennium or whatever, you know, sometimes way off in the future, the way the evolutionists do. It's way out there, you know, it's many, many. Well, I think that we as a body of Christ, that in these last days, God is developing, is bringing us into that perfectness, that completeness, that will be revealed in a greater extent here and in this later last days. And I'm thinking back at that verse in Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar's dream was interpreted by Daniel, and the last part of that dream was that the stone carved out of the mountain or whatever, the stone made without hands, rolled down the mountain and struck the toes of the beast, of that beast kingdom, which were the feet, or the foundation that all of the previous kingdoms prior to that rested upon, and that stone made without hands, just smote those feet, and those kingdom, that kingdom was destroyed. That giant, that Nebuchadnezzar's image of the beast, it was destroyed in those last days. And I think it was destroyed by this last day's body of Christ coming into the enlightenment of these, the realities of his word, and having set our affections upon the things of God, and resting in heavenly places as opposed to earth, and have grown up and taken up upon the mantle of Christ, and have become that warrior that will destroy and pull down that last kingdom. So I think it ties in with that verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then we shall also be with him, be manifested in glory. So
when I see that verse, it reminds me of the Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, and then they got this glow about them, and the Father appeared. I thinking that when Christ appears, we'll be transfigured and be like, just like him. But I don't think it diminished what Christ was when he was here on the earth before the Transfiguration either. I think Christ had that glow in him anyways. But when those two prophets, the prophet Elijah and then Moses, I'm not sure he was a prophet, but he spoke for God, both of them, when they appeared with Jesus, they both all of a sudden put up this bright glow around them. I think when we come in the heavenly presence of others like that, we'll have that glow about us. And that's when the glory happens. But at the same time, he says, by one offering, he has perfected, then they're sanctified. So if we believe for what we have now and not wait, and think we have to wait for this to happen, believe it's there, just like Jesus already had it in him, we will have that. We don't have to wait for it, but we're believing that we have this. We believe we have received already. That's that's what we as Christ in this hope of glory will reveal to the world. But we believe we have this, and it will be revealed to the world that way. If we wait for it and think it'll happen someday, I hope it will be, that's not faith anymore. That's hope. But we believe it by faith. We have it. We have it. That's my thoughts.
Amen. Well, that's 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 in that one verse there. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Just like Dave was talking about, we believe that it's already done. And you're justified by faith. You're sanctified by faith. And you have to believe it, not that you see it. Listen, sanctification is not what people see in you. It's what you believe in the Word of God. That's good. Just go out the door, look yourself in the mirror, say, I am Jesus Christ. And I'm walking just like he is today. Yeah, George.
I want to change my answer.
Go for it, brother.
We got an eraser.
I read through it again, and I thought about it, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. That's a place of awesome power, authority, peace, and rest. He's seated because he knows that there is nothing that they haven't done and done for us that we cannot lose. So there's a peace in heavenly places. There's joy and celebration and just a powerful resting. And when you set your mind on the battle being won and who it is that we belong to there in heaven, then I think from there flows the ability to let Christ live through us.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Pat says he agrees 100%, 100%. Me too. It's all by faith and believing. Judy's going to sing us a song, maybe. No, no. All right, anybody else? You know, I'm looking at this refreshed, and you brought out something there that I'm going to have to call them on, and that is in chapter 3. Verse 4. When Christ is our life, will be manifested, you said, and it's got disclosed in there. When Christ is our life, will be disclosed. Somebody tell me what disclosed means. That's not the same as manifested, is it?
Brought to light.
Huh?
It means to be brought to light. Disclose, like a secret is disclosed, you okay. Learn about the secret.
But it's not the same as manifested, is it?
Manifested is brought to light too.
Okay, but manifested to me is like Christ manifested in you. Yeah. Could that be the same thing as disclosed in you?
I believe so.
Okay, look, Julie's got the answer. She knows all. And then Jeanette's got another answer. And then Malcolm's got an answer.
I looked up the word.
Go ahead, Julie. Hush, Malcolm.
I looked up the word in the dictionary for disclose, and it says to expose to view as by removing a cover, uncover. And the second one here, it lists to make known something heretofore kept secret. An adjective of disclosed, made known, especially something secret or concealed. So, yes, it could be.
Okay. Did somebody look up manifested? I'm just curious to know if I need to call them out on this, because they have. Jeanette, did you have something?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I have the New American Standard Version, and the word revealed is what is used here. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The word revealed.
Okay, well, the numerics has manifested, and that's the word they use. That's the reason I asked this question. I'm not sure what, Malcolm, have you got the answer?
Actually, no. I don't have a dictionary in front of me or anything, but actually, to me, disclosed means when I'm talking to somebody privately, they disclose to me something. And kind of in private, I'm just discussing it with them. Manifest would, to me, means to a group of people or everybody. But disclosing is kind of I disclose to you that, you know, I'm having problems stubbing my toe at the same point every day. Does that make sense? That's just the feeling I get from the usage of the word, but I'd have to go back and look and see what, you know, one of these writer, you know, I have a book called Reading for Writers, and it goes into all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What about manifest? We know about disclose now.
I think they're similar in meaning, but we have to actually go to the Greek too, get an idea what they meant in the Greek word
when they say. Well, I know what numeric says had, and I just wanted to see if manifest and disclose were the same thing. And I have a problem with disclose. I don't know if y'all do or not, but I have a problem with it. It means something different to me. Andrew. Go ahead.
How about for living is the word of God and active?
Huh?
For living is the word of God and active? How about that for answers to both of them? Disclosed and manifested. Living is the word of God and active. Now, in him we live, move, and have our being. Disclosed and manifested together. That's what we're having faith for, right? And love.
yeah, but okay. Moving right along.
Because there's nothing there that can't be done without the word of God.
Look in the chat there. David's got manifested on the chat.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
Revealing.
The act or process of revealing or uncovering. Is that disclosed or manifest?
The first two, number one or number two, are disclosed. And right below that, I didn't know what put it right below it, but it says manifest, number three. And
okay. All right. To show plainly, reveal, or display. Revealing or uncovering is disclosed. So it's basically the same thing, I guess. Right.
I think they're similar words.
Let's see. Theo says, if something is manifested, it is experienced by the senses. Okay. That's why I thought that manifest ought to be there. If something is manifested, it is experienced by the senses. In other words, we can tell that it's happening. I knew we'd get a scholar in here to tell us what the difference is. Yeah, Judy or Sue?
I just had a definition that's pretty close to that too. But you know, what you're all talking about, again, it reminds me of Isaiah 60. Where this speaks of manifestations of God's glory in us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Risen upon you, the glory of the Lord. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, there's a light again, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come in you, to you. A multitude of camels, and then it goes on, how the nations are going to come to the light, because they'll want it. Thank you, Lord.
Where are you reading from again?
Isaiah 60.
Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Okay. Okie doke. I've settled it in my mind. I know what manifested is now that we got to correct. Where'd you get that, Theo? Is that something you just know?
Just Just the dictionary.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. I like that part. I like manifested because it has a real sense to it, you know, that I am looking at my manifestation of Jesus Christ in me, the glory of God, you know. Disclosed in me, that just means that I've had it hidden. Now I want to see it. Somebody, I want everybody to look at it. Is that glory that you see every now and then that people see on you, that light that the people see on you, you know? Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
I just like to look at those scriptures where it talks about he's going to manifest, you know, those shall be manifest. God's going to reveal who his true people are. And just all the, you know, what the, there's going to be made known what the difference is between people who are so-called believers or Christians and who God reveals his true church to be. He's going to make it known. It's a revealing, it's a disclosing, it's a revealing. This is my bride. This is my sons and my daughters. These are the people who have been faithful. These are the people who are the chosen, the few. That's kind of how I like to look at that. Like Sue was reading from Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light. Your light has come. This is the time that God's going to do all that. He's going to make known who's who.
Go ahead, Tim.
I'm a far cry from a word scholar, but my interpretation of manifest would be that the change has happened. Something has physically changed. It was this way and it's now this way, or revealed is just showing you the difference. So I'm with you. I think that manifested is a far better word for that particular verse, that there is a change that's happening. It's going to happen and we're going to become Christ. We're not just going to know what Christ looks like. We're going to be Christ through manifestation. That's my two cents.
Amen. All right, we're out of time. We are out of time. Now y'all want to start talking now, huh? Right now, right before we get ready to close out, y'all want to start talking. That's okay, though. I enjoyed it.
Just moving with the spirit here, Michael.
I know. Should have brought that out earlier, huh? Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good night that was led by you, Lord. We just thank you for all the wonderful words that were given, all the revelations that were given. And Lord, we just thank you for your leading of us into these areas that needed to be talked about. And Lord, put it in us to seek you with all our heart. Let us be ever vigilant to watch and to lean into you for everything, Lord. Place it in us, Lord, to run after you with all our hearts. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you be with us as we go about doing your thing. You know, Lord, there's a lot of turbulence in the world. And we thank you, Lord, that we've got our eyes on you. We don't have to worry about all that turbulence because we're a Psalm 91 bride for you. And we thank you, Lord, for your protection upon us. And the revelations you're giving us too, in Jesus' name. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. Let us wake up tomorrow supernaturally charged, supercharged, Lord, by your spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, y'all. It's been good.
Amen.
Good night.
All right, I got everybody unmuted now.
Good night, everybody.
George. Good to see you.
Good night. God bless.
Good night, everyone.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
See you.